right, today I will believe and confess that Jesus Christ was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of my peace was upon him. And by Jesus' stripes, I am healed. All right, now if you believe it, let's give Jesus a hand. All right, okay, now, so we're talking now about whether or not Jesus himself took, as we say in the Word of God, our infirmities. The Bible says that he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. So we understand then that all of these things associated with our salvation and us receiving from God, Christ took upon himself. To the extent we can really believe this is the issue. Today I have a message that's simply entitled, The Faith Paradigm. The Faith Paradigm. And I'll tell you what my thesis is. It's just that there is no paradigm shift when it comes to faith. There is no paradigm shift when it comes to faith. Now, if you're out there in the world, I gave you a quick definition of what a paradigm is. It's just a typical example, if you will, or pattern of something that you model. A typical example or pattern of something that you model. So I want to now go to the book of Hebrews. I want to read some scripture, and then let's talk a little bit about this message that we have. We're going to go to some familiar text, Hebrews chapter 11, and we're going to begin reading at verse 1, and we'll read through verse 6. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now we go to the book of Mark. And we're going to look at Mark chapter 11, and then we're going to read verse 12 through 14. Mark chapter 11, and we'll read verse 12 through 14, and then we'll look at verse 19 through 26. So beginning at verse 12, it says, "And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever, after his disciples and his disciples heard it." Moving to verse 19, it says, "And when even was come, he went out of the city. And in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. And Jesus answering saith unto him, Have faith in God. For verily I say unto thee, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. And when you stand praying, forgive, if ye have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses." All right, let's pray, and then let's see if we can get into the Word. Father, we thank you today for the opportunity again to come into your house. We thank you for the Word of God, and we thank you for the anointing that's on your Word. We thank you, Father, that the Bible tells us that you magnify your Word above your name, and that doesn't mean that one is opposite of the other, but what it means is that we find in your Word your character and everything about you, and irrespective of what we think, we cannot preach another Jesus. We have to preach the one declared to us in your word, because in your word, we find truth. And Jesus said, if we would continue in your word, we would know the truth and the truth would make us free. Father, we ask that you would continue to make us free in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Praise the Lord. All right. Now, today, like I said, I'm doing this message. I'm entitling it The Faith Paradigm. And I said, you know, you hear, especially if you're out there in the world working and all that stuff, you hear all the time about paradigms, and people use this terminology a lot. And they say all these different things at different moments, you know. We got this paradigm, and we got this. And so at many moments, you'll hear people talk about this paradigm shift, you know, and they'll say that. Well, there's a paradigm shift. And that always means that something big is happening, and there's a big change that's going on. And so when we start talking about how we think, like right now, people are saying there's a paradigm shift about sexuality. Well, maybe in your mind and some other people's mind it might be, but the Word of God is clear on what God got to say about these things. And we need to understand that this concept of paradigm shifts really does not apply when you start talking about God. But there is a group of people right now, a large group of people, who are basically trying to take the position that, you know, people are constantly not interpreting the Bible right. And, you know, you have your version and your translation. I have my version and my translation. To the point that people feel very comfortable now writing their own Bible and, you know, just all this stuff and calling it whatever they do. And then people taking that and using it as a reason to say we can reject 1,900 years of stuff that we can go back and verify has been there that long. As I told my son yesterday, we were talking about something, and I said, son, look, this is the way I feel about some things. You know, you got to not have conversations about those things. There are some things that, irrespective of what we want to say, the truth of the matter is they're true. Okay, most people, when they go to the rest area, and I'm going to try not to be too graphic, but when they go to the rest area, you know, usually if they do whatever they normally do in there, depending on what it is, normally it does not smell like it did when they went in the rest area. That's why they make those little spray cans that you can spray and stuff like that, because the food that go in does not smell like the food that come out. That's why it's called waste. That's why we call it stinky and other things we use. Now, I'm sorry if you me calling something stinky bothers you. But you can't call me, you know, a stink shamer. You know, I'm shaming stink now, you know, because if I decide that I want to put my stuff in a plastic bag and carry it around with me and show it to you and say, hey, doesn't that look good? And you say, well, no, that looks like that stinky stuff. And you say, well, it is. And you say, well, why do you think you could carry that around? Well, it comes out of my body. It's mine. I'm not ashamed of my stink, even though you might be ashamed of yours. You see, there's some things, folks, that although we as humans can always conjure up in our mind, nature itself tells us there's something wrong with this. Now, you know, we ain't got to keep, you know, debating or arguing with it. That stink. Now, you don't have to say it stink. You can say whatever you want and pretend to act like it's all right. But we know that stink. Now, I can stand there holding my nose like this, you know, or whatever. We all know that when this happens, you in the meeting. And all of a sudden, something don't smell the way it did. But when you look around, everybody has that look on their face like it wasn't me. Wasn't me. I ain't do it. You know, everybody looking straight because nobody, everybody know if they blink. Now, unfortunately, when it's just you and your friends sitting in the room, we know it's getting more like gambling where we can be pretty comfortable. We close to this 50% chance it was you. And one of us know we lying. Okay, so the point is we can look up at the air vent if we want to, but we know that smell ain't coming from up there. But we can pretend. We keep on pretending if we want to. But the thing about faith is that the Bible teaches from the beginning of the Bible to the end what faith looks like, what faith is, and no matter what we do to try to change it, there is no shift. There is no paradigm that we look and say, oh, now faith looks like this. You know, God is doing something new. People say that all the time. You know, God's doing a new thing. I get it. But that's not what we mean when we say that. Then that somehow God changed and that God now is doing something new. He said, no, God is sitting the same address he was, sitting on the same throne, doing the same thing he was doing. Now, there may be things we're looking at, but if people read the Bible and just be honest with themselves and read the Bible, just read through the Bible, they would say to themselves, wow, You always see a transition where men eventually leave from, if they've ever done it, they leave from the worship of God, and eventually they move into the worship of idols and things, and eventually themselves. And they begin to exalt their own ideas and their own thinking and what they believe to be okay. You see it throughout the whole Bible. Well, then why today does anybody think it would be different? Why would anybody think today we done got so smart that we don't still do what people did back then? What they do is they look at what God said. They match it up against what they think. They don't like what God said. So they say either God, at first they used to say, I don't think you're doing that right. I don't think you're interpreting that right. Because nobody wanted to challenge. See, the wave was too strong to challenge it as God's word. Nobody did that. So instead of doing that, they challenged the way you interpreted God's word. And they said, oh, you're not doing that right, and you don't have that right. So now it's not even about that. Now we just challenge the whole thing and just say it's just not God's word. Those who are still trying to hold on to it as God's word then change it. So they write a whole book, and then they just say what they want to say. And I think this is what Jesus meant by that. Oh, okay. This is what I think God meant by that. Oh. Okay. I mean, when you read clearly, when the Bible talks about faith, you know, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. That's what it says in Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So now God gives you outright, this is what faith is. The word does not change. It ain't never changed. That has been in the scriptures for like thousands of years, right? I mean, it's been in the scripture. That's what was there. There's no doubt. Always has been there. Now, so then what is God saying to us? I mean, ultimately that faith is about believing what you do not see, being certain of what you're hoping for. You are certain of it. I mean, this is not like you wonder or anything else. You are certain about it, what you hope for, and you have evidence. That's what your faith does, right? So people say, well, how do you know that Jesus is real? How do you know that Jesus is coming back? I say, well, my faith. You know, people say, well, how does that work? Well, my faith, I'm certain, okay? I know what I believe. I know it so much and am so positive of it that even though I don't see it, I'm certain that Jesus is in heaven. Now, people will say, well, how do you get there, though, then? Yeah, well, the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. So I got to stay in the word enough to where finally God can help me to see through my spirit, this is true. All you got to do, that's why I said some stuff I don't even get it, but I do. You go out in the world and you look and you say, if we having a paradigm shift at all, it's just another shift in the area of how man thinks about himself. To the point that now you have people literally denying the bodies they're in. But so somebody looks at me and tells me, you need to stick with science. While at the same time looking at me saying, that body, you don't know what it is. Now, I'm not here to pick on that. That's just one obvious thing of what's happening right now. So you're like, whoa, hold up, stop. When I was growing up, we kind of knew. But there's also something natural that happens that people kind of, you know, deal with. So there's something that even when Adam and Eve were in the garden, they looked at each other and they knew they was naked. And the Bible said they was ashamed. Now, no matter how hard y'all try, I'm just telling you now, watch it. No matter how hard you try, there was a lady who turned in this lady the other day for flashing her boys at the swimming pool. Okay, her boys are like 12 or 13. She's like 30. And she opened up herself and flashed it to the boys, right? Well, the mama, when she found out about it, because you know the boys, they told. But the boys wasn't feeling like she had done nothing wrong. Well, I wonder why. Well, mama was like, oh, no, something wrong with that. Well, her response was, these boys have seen more of this, they on the line, they this. Right, we got it. But why that smell? Why does that smell? I know why the little boy's happy. Because they've gone into the puberty stage where they all running around with them little books they don't want nobody to know they're looking at, and little pictures and anything they can and hiding it, right? That we got that. That's puberty. I understand why, but I can't go with what y'all saying that don't stink. Because y'all don't know what it smells like. But your mama know that something just ain't cool about what you just did. Well, Eve and Adam both knew. They had never even been exposed to what was naked. But they knew something different. I think you need to cover that up. When will we finally decide, look, y'all, we just need to be free, okay? Now, I don't know why y'all come to church with them clothes on. God created all of us. Ain't no sense in y'all, we us body shaming each other and worrying about talking about whatever. And, you know, you just need to get yourself under control. You looking over at the other lady. What's wrong with you? Get yourself under control. So I focus it on you. You got to get under control. When no, Adam and Eve both knew. We naked and we shame. We need to go cover. And God covered them up. Why then are we, well, don't, you shouldn't. That's what the whole nude beach thing was about, how eventually people, but y'all know it, how free you got to be to go down there. Because sometimes when you realize what's there, most of us, yes, most of us say, I ain't so sure I want to do that. Even if you think you got a perfect body, there's something wrong you say to yourself when you walk out there and the guy sitting over there watching you go by with no clothes on. And you say to yourself, I'm just perfectly okay out here, just walking around. It's like we shove into the closet all of the people who we know out there. Raping people, kidnapping people, and all. And where does this stuff come from? We want to say, well, that's just they're mentally disturbed. Well, no, they just gone deeper than things normally would go. Because if everybody's running around, let me just say this, with nothing on, trust me, there's going to be a whole lot more touching going on than going on right now, eventually. Because in most people's mind, this is why, and unfortunately, let me say this is mostly men, I think, than women. That's why most women don't ever like to say nothing to you. Because you speak and smile, Lord Jesus, they thank you, want them now. I was just trying to be nice. Hey, and look, you forget it. He finna walk, follow you everywhere now. Man, I know when they want you. I know it. Why? She smoked to me, man. You ain't see she smile? Well, what you want her to do? Because, well, I mean, when she look at you crazy, say, what's wrong? See, that's what I'm talking about. Thanks, she all of that. No, she just trying not to have you attracted over here like a fly. You know, the bottom line is, that's what's going on. There's something natural that's happening that we can't deny unless we just want to keep denying. Faith, God has said, faith operates like this, okay? So we can't change faith. We're not going to see the reality of what we're hoping for except through the eyes of our faith. Jesus said this, and why people say, well, why would you believe that? Well, because Jesus said it. Now, look, either Jesus is a liar, and I'm just not willing to put him there. Now, some people say, yeah, but he was a man now. You know, now we're saying that. He was a man, and he might not have got it right. Well, okay, well then we should not just not be Christians. Stop trying to be a Christian and not be a Christian. You know, a Christian believes the word. God magnified his name above, his word above his name. I got to realize this. What does the word say? Well, that Bible, every Bible, even the ones they're trying to change, they still have to stay true to some form. And they all acknowledge that Jesus at least said, I tell the truth. Yeah, they at least acknowledge that. Almost everybody, I ain't got the one yet, that they're not at least acknowledging Jesus saying, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Now, they all get into debating now about what does that mean. Well, he's saying he was the way like Buddha said he was the way. He's saying he's the way like Allah was the way. All these different ways. Well, actually, Muhammad. All these ways. He's not declaring he's the sole single way, they say. Okay, whatever, got it. But you do know he said the truth. You're acknowledging that? So we do agree that if we're going down the road, Jesus went down the road of the truth, right? Okay, fine. All right, let's do that. Well, then, let's see what he said out of his mouth about God. Bible says he came out of this city, and he saw a fig tree, and he went over to it. It had leaves, and typically the way that goes, when you see the leaves, there's supposed to be some figs. All right? Well, he goes over, and he starts looking, there, no figs. So he curses the tree. And he says, curse, nobody's going to eat figs from you, fruit from you now, forever. And he walks away. He doesn't stand around and wait. He doesn't do it. He just walks off. And his disciples hear it. Now, one or two things they could be saying. This man literally is crazy. I mean, I know you're mad. You're upset. There ain't nothing in there. Why you won't curse the little tree? And then you cursed it. But ain't nothing happened to it. And then they walk away. They heard it. Well, now that gives them time to think about what just happened. Process what is going on. See, in your life, this is what happens many times. God, in his attempt to teach you faith and to get you where you understand, because he's already said in Hebrews, without faith, it's impossible to please him. Y'all hear? Y'all see this? You cannot. It is impossible. When God says something impossible, that means you ain't no way to do it. So if God says it's impossible to please him without faith, it's his responsibility to teach you how to have it so you can please him. So then God says, faith is the substance of things you hope for, the evidence of what you don't see. So Jesus walks by the tree and curses it. Nothing happens. Well, he ain't worrying about it because he already know what he said gonna come to pass. Because he knows he said it, and he knows God's going to move on what he said, so it's going to happen. So Jesus keeps going. His disciples hear it. So now they get an object lesson. The next day they come back, the tree is withered. And Peter's shocked. See, if you live your life by faith, when the time comes, people going to be shocked. They're going to look and say, whoa, how did that happen? That's what's going to happen. If you're living your life by faith, there's going to come a moment in each different situations that people are going to say, whoa, how did that happen? Because faith is always about hoping for something you can't see and being certain that it will come to pass, that it's there. You know it. You don't have to see. You know it. Like you know your name. You know it. You know it. Now, I told my wife the other day, I was talking to her about, you know, people in the stock market. Many times people will think the stock market is like, sometimes they'll say like the casino. And it's really not. You can play it like it is, but it's really not. I mean, you can say, oh, I'm going to buy that and I'm going to sell it high. But you don't even know nothing about it. Buying companies and selling them is all you're doing with stock. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, Brother Chris has a company. He might say, man, look, I need to grow my company. And I say, okay, Brother Chris, I'll invest in your company. Do you have any stock? Let's say he has a corporation. He says, yeah. I say, okay, I'll buy some of your stock. How much you want to sell it to me for? He said, $1,000 a share. I say, hold up, stop. Let me look at your books first. Now, if I look at his books and let's say Chris is not making any money in his business, none, he don't make no money. He losing money. Why would I give him $1,000 a share? Now, he might say, well, take all of my stuff, though, that my business owns, add it all up and divide it by whatever, the number of shares that are outstanding, and you'll see those shares are worth $1,000 because I have $1 million of equipment and I have this many shares. So you will actually own a part of this $1 million of equipment. Okay, great. But people like the ridiculous Facebook crowd, who these people don't have nothing. They might have some revenue that they do with their ads, but other than that, Facebook ain't nothing but a name. And they ain't got nothing. They might have a building somewhere, but the folk don't even go to it no more to work half the time. They work virtual. Zillow don't really own nothing. They just online. But people paying all kind of money for Zoom stock. Why? Because it was going up. Right, it was going up because the pandemic is happening and people are advertising. Then all of a sudden it went straight through the basement. Why? Because the pandemic was over and people stopped Zooming. And their ad revenue dried up, and then when people's stock went in the tank, they don't understand it. Why you don't understand that? What you don't get about that? You pay for nothing, and then you got nothing. But if you go buy a legitimate company like ExxonMobil, you don't need to think it's going to go up $10 tomorrow, because those legitimate companies don't move like that. They move over time progressively as they keep doing what they do. So you invest in it and you wait. Over time, you make a little money. Now, if you want to be a day trader and you just swinging in and out, okay, well, that's kind of like gambling, but that even has ways that you do it. Why are you telling us this, Pastor? Because when I have a stock trading simulator, I found that I'm much more willing to throw it in there on stuff I just know I know. I said, I've researched this company. I've looked at it. I know this is going to happen. And I have this stock simulator. They give you $100,000. So I went in with whatever I was doing. Man, I made so much money on that company. But in my real business life, I buy a bit much in there. Even though in my play business life, I got this much in there. Because I knew I couldn't lose nothing. I put this much in there. But this much that I had went up. And I found myself saying, see, you should have did what you knew. Why did you know this? Because you researched it. You don't know this because you playing gambling. This ain't like I went to the Circle K and say, give me one of them scratch outs. And I'm sitting here going, oh, yeah, I can feel this one. I know when I scratch this off, this $100,000 when I can feel it. The cards are always the same. They all look the same. That's gambling. You have nothing to base it on. Most people don't even know why, how they decide how many cards we do. That's not the same thing. But still, because I'm very conservative, I still, when I know I've researched, still don't do it. I might have bought ExxonMobil, a company like that, or whatever the case might be. But, you know, some little company that's mining gold or something like that, I ain't going to do that. But in my little simulator, you know, where the kids, like, they play army, I play money. And where I play it, I make millions. But in my money, I make hundreds. Because I don't want to have to tell Sister Lori why I thought I had invested in that company and I had really researched it, and all of a sudden it turned out maybe they was lying about their assets. They say they had $1 million of stuff, and it turned out they ain't had nothing. Well, God ain't like that. If y'all know, where is he going? God ain't like that. Bottom line is, he ain't never coming down here and showing you his assets. He ain't going to come down here and show you what heaven got in it. What he going to do is tell you, this is how it works. This is who I am. This is what I have. Now, I want y'all to use your common sense that I gave you. People, see, when you say that in church, people are like, common sense. We go by the Spirit. The Spirit, use your common sense. All right? When the devil told Jesus to jump off that building, Jesus said, hold up, stop. Let me use a little common sense right now. The Bible say, don't tempt the Lord. Why would I jump off this building to prove to you that I'm the Son of God? I know who I am. See, Jesus knew who he was, so I don't have to prove it to you. Let me just do what I'm doing. I know what the scriptures say. I have to invest. See, you're putting your whole life on the line. That's why Jesus said, treasure, when you find it, you go sell everything you have. I'm telling y'all right now, I am so convinced that the stock market is going to crash. It has to, I say. I believe that. At some point, it's inevitably, it has to, because of all the craziness going on. I mean, where have you ever heard that you shut down the whole country, give people money? Ain't nobody making nothing, but you give them more money to go buy what? You ain't making nothing. Then people say, why are the prices going up? Hello, because we ain't got but two cars. And since we got two cars for sale, and you got 50,000 and you got 60, who you think finna get this car? 60. Prices just going up. Yeah, because there ain't nothing to sell. Then I give you money. Give you some extra unemployment. Give you a check. And then say, go spend it. On what? We ain't making nothing. The whole country shut down. Matter of fact, the people that was going to work quit their job. You can't go to a restaurant and ain't open. They ain't got no people. It makes sense it's going up. But eventually, everything that goes up, oh, it's coming down. It's coming down. Oh, and I'm so certain. But I'm not going to put all of my life on that bet. Because for whatever reason, who knows? People might just keep going, something crazy happen. But when it comes to God, we can't live that way. See, God's like, no, you can't be doing it. I believe Jesus is the Lord. But just in case he ain't, let me hold on to the world and what I got because, I mean, you know, you never know. Well, God says, hold up now. Look, if you either going in with me or you're not. So Jesus walks by looking like he crazy, cursed. And they're like, man, do we really want to be following a dude that talked to trees? Think about it. Now, you know, in hindsight, Jesus makes sense. But I tell people today the reason they can't figure out when he's coming back and all this crazy stuff is going on is because right now in the time we're in now, God is doing exactly what he did before Jesus came the first time. See, because if it was so simple to figure out, the devil would know the plan. And if the devil knows the plan, you always know what he's doing when he know a plan. He's doing something to mess it up. That's why the Bible in one place says, if the princes of this world had known, they never would have crucified the Lord of glory. See, had the devil known him and his princes, who Jesus really was, and if they had understood the plan of God, they never would have messed with him. They'd have just let him live. Bro, you can heal all the people you want because as soon as they die, pew, they ain't never coming out. Now, there was two places, compartments in hell, the side that wasn't hot and the side that was hot, but they ain't coming out. They're never going to see God. They're never going to heaven. They go down to paradise down there, and that's where they stay. They are not going to see God, ever. Why? Because we ain't messing with you. You can heal all the people you want. You can preach all the sermons you want, and the devil gonna sit back and kick his legs up knowing they have no sacrifice. He would have known. But when you go back and you read the Old Testament today, having seen Jesus come, you can see it. It's easy now for us to say, oh, when Moses said, God gonna send a prophet like me. It's easy for you to see that that prophet was Jesus. When the Bible talks about the Messiah and how he's gonna be bruised and the iniquities, all this, you see what? Yeah, makes sense. Jesus. But when it's happening in real time, the Bible says, behold, a virgin shall give birth. But when it happened in real time, no one knew. Mary was born in a place where nobody even knew what was going on. And when she was born, she left and they went to Egypt. Nobody knows. And then when he came back and God called him, they stopped in Nazareth. He's not supposed to be from Nazareth. He's from the city of David. Well, he is. Y'all just don't know. See, Jesus was born in Bethlehem, like the Bible said, and then he came on right out of there, and he went to Egypt. And then God called him out, and on his way back, he stopped in Nazareth. The Bible says he shall be called a Nazarene. And nobody knew who is the he they talking about, but we know they ain't talking about the Messiah, because Messiah is from the city of David. Right, so Jesus ended up being from the city of David and Nazareth, and none of y'all knew and understood it. The only person who kind of might have known was his mom and dad because they were in the city of David. They moved out. They were moving around with him. But other than that, nobody knows. Everybody thought Jesus was born out of wedlock for all they knew. Because come on now, y'all know ain't nobody running around was believing the virgin story. So the bottom line is they're not buying it. So here we are now with what? God is trying to make it clear that I need y'all to walk by faith. Now, either Jesus is coming back for y'all, or he ain't. Either what he said is true, or it's not. But what has happened for hundreds and hundreds of years is there'll be people on the corner with these signs. The world is coming to an end. Repent, the world is coming to an end, and the world don't end. And people say, see, that's what I'm talking about. I don't want to be one of them crazies. I don't want to be out there with these crazy people. That's what people are saying. And then as time keeps going and it looks like the world ain't ending, people are more and more saying, well, maybe what people are saying is true. Then people start trying to spiritualize things. Well, maybe what's really going on is what Jesus meant was he was coming back, what? To be in us. So we are the return of Jesus. You start hearing all kinds of stories. Why? Because people are cutting into faith. No, the Bible says plainly what's going to happen. It says, behold, God is going to descend from the heaven, Jesus, with a shout. And the angels are going to come down and separate the wheat from the chaff. That's what's going to happen. I want to talk a little bit about this shifting idea. What's happening is that many people are starting to waver, if you will, in what their faith might require, let's say. So in other words, instead of saying, look, Jesus meant exactly what he said. So what I'm about to do, whatever's going on in my life, whatever I need, I heard a very renowned minister the other day. I'm not going to call his name. Don't matter, because it's not important. Preached some message called The Great Misunderstanding. And now, you know, with, who knows, 15, 20, I don't know how many thousands of members, worldwide ministry, all this stuff, that, you know, he was wrong about tithing and what he had been saying about tithing. Well, I knew that. Y'all go back and listen to my messages from I don't know how many years ago. That was wrong. That's why we got a box back there. What's the great misunderstanding? What you misunderstood? Don't be calling the great misunderstanding like we misunderstood it. You misunderstood it, sir. You missed God and you missed the word. Let's just say that. Why don't you call it? Look, I just... What is the problem? Well, I think that people need to understand God ain't changing and he ain't shifting and there ain't no misunderstandings if you just read what he said. In one place, the Bible says God is not asking you for what you ain't got. But at the same time, you need to understand the scriptures are clear. The Bible says that Abraham paid, Levi paid tithes while he was in his father Abraham's loins. So though, yeah, tithing's not about the law, but it's not about tithing at all. It's about giving to God. The Bible says that when Abraham, God called Abraham, and Abraham did this great thing, and as he was coming, Melchizedek met him. And Melchizedek blessed him. And the Bible says Abraham paid a tithe to Melchizedek. Abraham was before the law. We say we're the children of Abraham. We get up and we sing the song, Abraham, Abraham, all the stuff we singing. But the reality is tithes were paid then. But they're not what? Although they were instituted in the law, they were instituted in the law for a reason. What reason? Because people just didn't do what their heart. So God said, look, I already know if I set up a temple and set priests up in it, them people ain't going to support them priests. At some point, they ain't going to do what they're supposed to, so I'm going to make it a law. But guess what started happening? Even with the law, the people was bringing the raggedy stuff. The priest was in there, supposed to get his little shank, and they bringing him a cold cut. And they're like, where'd you get that? That's not the part of the cow you supposed to bring to the priest. That's all I had left. The lightning hit it, and you know, that's all I was able to bring you. So the priest in there trying to scrub it. That's why God said in one place, why then would what? People steal from my house and all that. God wasn't trying to demand anything from people ever. The bottom line is that what God is trying to do is have people who are cheerful. That's why Paul said God loves cheerful givers. Other than that, he said you should just keep that stuff. Because he knows how to take care of himself. So it hasn't changed. Faith. The idea of what faith is, the Bible says now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, I want you to think about this. If there's been no paradigm shift, which there is not, then what are we doing? Now, put up Mark 11, 24, and let's look at it. Or put up 23 to start. Let's put it up at 23. Mark 23, 11, 23. Put 23 up there on the screen for me. All right, look at what it says. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Okay. What's the problem? You know, what's the problem? Okay, so if you ask most people and say, well, do you have the things you're saying? Some people say, well, no. You say, well, why don't you? Now, if you ask them that, they get offended. Well, I mean, you know, God do what he want to do. No, he doesn't. Stop lying on God. That is not what Jesus said. Jesus did not say God just do what he want to do anyway to the point that he denied his own word. This is what the Bible means when it says God magnifies his name, his word, above his name. In other words, you cannot take God's character and change it in his name. So what you've just done is basically change God's character of being honest and straightforward and truthful into something else he's doing. He's playing some game with you or something, when the reality is that that's not what's going on. God has made a declaration. And in having made that declaration, it's my responsibility, what? To believe it. What does this mean? Oh, my goodness. Think about it. Look at what happens. Jesus said this next thing. He adds this to it. Therefore, I say unto you. Now, let me say this. Every time you see therefore, every time you see therefore, you need to find out what it's there for. Like that little baby room in the back. When you see the word therefore, you need to know what it's there for. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe you receive them and you will have them. Go ahead further. But then he says what? And when you stand praying, forgive. So we understand that God connects forgiveness to the previous verse. Jesus connects forgiveness. So he's like, look, I want to give you what you want. And you can speak and ask for what you want. But you're going to have to connect forgiveness to this. And understand that what? God's expectation is I walk in forgiveness. Because he says there, if you ought, have ought against any, that your Father that's in heaven forgive you your trespasses. So forgive. So when praying, if God has made a request of me, I got to do what he says so that I can receive what the other part of the sentence is. So no matter how anybody's offended me, whatever they did to me, God is making it clear to me. White, you need to understand something now. If you want what you're saying, I need you to examine yourself clearly and make sure that you're not walking in any unforgiveness. Because if you are, that's what I'm more concerned about. I don't care about all that other stuff, and I ain't about to respond to this right now. And the only reason I'm not going to respond to it is because it's clear that it helps me to help you, because the more you ask me about why you're not getting, it forces you to focus. Yeah, it literally causes you to say, hold up, God. Now, either Jesus is a liar, and we don't want to make him that. We're not going to say Jesus is a liar. At least I'm not. So then what's the deal? This is what I asked you for, God. And he says, okay, now let's go through what I said. Now, I didn't cut it off. See, and this is what some people will do, is that they cut off. They look at verse 24. Let's look at 23 and 24 again. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe the things that he says shall come to pass, he'll have whatsoever he saith. Therefore, I say unto you, whatso things ever you desire when you pray, believe you receive them and you'll have them. Well, now, my goodness, that's the end of that. But it's not. See, I can't come to God and say, look, God, I got an issue. I got something I need. This is what I want to need met. I got to get this need met. I need this need met. And then I'm holding over here somebody that done me wrong or done something wrong or whatever the case might be, and I have chosen not to forgive that person. God's like, you can't move to the next place. So we can't detach them and somehow believe that God understands my unwillingness to forgive. He doesn't. See, this is what he means when he says he magnifies his word above his name. His character, you can't bring God's character to where yours at. I know they did you wrong, and I know they messed over you. As a matter of fact, they did it to your face. I was having lunch with a young man the other day, and I told him, I said, you know what would really bother me? I said, think about it like this. If we left out of here right now and your phone, because sometimes people, you know, by mistake, you sit on your phone, y'all know what they call them like that, sit on the phone, and it rang, and it called me. And when it, all of a sudden I answer it, and I hear you talking. You don't know you call, and everything you're saying, I can't stand him. He get on my nerves. I just had lunch with him. All he ever talk about is this. But I go with him because, you know, he get on my nerves. and I don't want him to say whatever. And you say all that about me. I said, man, I'll be some upset. I said, because I honestly believe that you are sitting here because you want to have this lunch we have. And that my company and your company together, you good with that. Because if you weren't, I would think you would just tell me that, right? I said, but to get it that way, I would be so hurt. I said, because I really believe you, right? So my point is that if that had happened, I would be, ooh-wee. See, this sister Laura got this down. God gave her this bone in her body. Thank God for it. Because there's some things that people say about my wife that she tell me they say. I say, and you still go well with that? I said, man, look, that's why God, I don't get tempted down that road. Because I'd blow the top off the house. And I'm going to make you, and all y'all understand. You ain't never going to have to worry about saying nothing about me no more because you ain't going to see me. Nah. And it may not even bother you. But you know what? I don't care. But the point is, I ain't going to be around here for you to be insulting me behind my back. And then when I'm public, you all up in my face smiling. See, that's why God don't let it happen to me much, because then I'm not going to do it right. But she do it, man. People come up to her and say, oh, so-and-so told me this about you. And they tell her what the person said. And she'll still turn around. And when she see that person walk up, I'll be standing right there. I say, oh, yeah, she need to get him. I say, you let me get him for you. Calm down. And then she go on and handle those people just like ain't nothing happened. And I'm like, oh, no, uh-uh. Oh, no, we can't do that. I'm about to tell you. I'm going to tell you. Take my coat off, everything, I'm going to be telling you. I mean, you know, and I know it ain't right. I got that. But I understand at some point I will have to forgive you. I have to, because God's going to keep bringing that up when I get to something. So I think that's why some of us don't get challenged at certain levels, because he already know. The Bible says, look, God will not allow you to be tempted above what you able. And some of us, he know you ain't able, so he ain't going to let that come your way. Other people get tempted in other ways. But the point is, whatever I have that I'm holding, I got to let it go. You know, I got to know that, and I got to connect them. Because if I don't, that's that, and in James are the only places where God responds. I get over to James. I'm going to go over there. I didn't give her these scriptures, but James, this is what he says in one place. And just James chapter 4. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust at war in your members? You lust and have not. You kill and desire to have, and you cannot obtain. You fight and you war, yet you have not, because you ask not. So he's tying it back to what Jesus said, ask. But then he says, you ask and you don't get it, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust. That's the only other place that God talks about something other than forgiveness. So I could be walking fine, I'm in forgiveness, but then I'm asking, but God's like, let me tell you, you're asking for the wrong reasons. All right, what you want, and this is not. And I tell people all the time when I say, I was telling somebody the other day, I said, you know why I want to live long? I said, you really want to know why I really want to live long? But I don't want to just live long. I want to live long and healthy. So you know why? Because the longer you live and the healthier you live long, people want to ask you, how you live so long? They ask that all the time. Go on the internet, 100-year-old people, what's your secret? Let me tell y'all your problem. Not y'all. The people. Your problem is you think there's a secret. When God says, I'm the author of life, I'm the one who can call this to be and call that not to be. And if you believe this, God can do anything. But I've also found that the fewer people in the room, more likely, people listen to what you're saying anyway. Hey, all my critics gone. Just saying. I mean, they was 20 years younger than me. Well, now they 80. What they saying now? See, it's one thing when I'm 60, you fart and you're running your mouth. But let's see what happens when I'm 100 and you 80. You still running your mouth? Are you still saying the same thing about God that you were saying back then? That's why I want to live long. Not for me. I want to be able to testify to the glory of God till I put my legs up into bed and close my eyes and die and say, God, I've been telling them this all along. You are the author of life. They need to understand that they got to put aside every single thing that they have put in front of you. Other than that, it's going to cut into their life. It'll cut into your mind. It'll cut into your health. It'll cut into everything about your life if you don't understand this truth. The Bible said this about John the Baptist. John the Baptist came. People said he don't eat and he don't drink. He got a devil. Then Jesus said, look, I come eating and drinking. Y'all say I'm a glutton and a wine bibbler. You know which way you want to have it. See, it didn't matter what was necessarily being ate or drank. It ain't about that. I'm not going to be telling people, oh, every day. Yes, I get in and I do 10 minutes. I'm not going to be telling them that. Every day I strength train. I'm not going to tell them that. I am going to tell them, you people got Jesus wrong. The Bible says Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. Jesus is the creator God. Jesus made everything. All things were made by him, and without him wasn't nothing made that was made. Jesus ain't just a good man. Jesus is God. And when Jesus tell you to sell out your life, he meant it. He did not mean live your life like this. On one hand, I'm chasing the world, and on the other hand, I'm chasing Jesus if I'm chasing him. No, don't be lukewarm. Get in and believe God. Believe him. There's no paradigm shift. Nothing has changed with God. He's not different. You can't say, well, God, at the time I was coming through, they said this, this, and this. We don't care what they say. What did God say? Jesus said, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe you receive them, and you shall have them. The reason most people don't want to speak nothing out their mouth is because they're afraid their mouth might catch up with them. Well, I'm comfortable in it. Hey, you know, my mouth gonna catch up. It's gonna happen or it ain't. And I think y'all should do like a movie Sister Laura and I was watching. If I go out before my time, which at least I told y'all I'm watching 100 to start. If I go out before that time, you walk up to the casket and you say, ha, and thumb my nose. And Sister Laura will not do nothing. I'm gonna tell them, and bring this DVD with you. Ha, and throw it in there. Yeah. Yeah, do that. People say, well, you can't say that because you don't know what God's going to do. I know God's character, and I know what God says. Now, right now, people just got to wonder, is he crazy? But I tell you what's going to happen. When I hit it, they're going to say, well, you know, people living longer now anyway. You know, 100 is the new 80. Yeah, whatever. Man is always coming up with something to try to justify his position. If he got something, he telling you why he got it. If he ain't got something, he telling you why he ain't got it. Instead of just going to what God said. What did God say? Jesus said, if you will. I told somebody the other day. I said, look, my parents passed. I have their home still over there. I treat their home like they still alive. Why? Because I want my mama and daddy to be proud of me. But they dead. Somebody might say. Yeah, they are. They're dead. And they may never ask me about that again. What that got to do with anything? People say, why you didn't have no estate sale? Because I don't want nobody tramping through my mama's house, because I could hear her saying it. Especially if all we were going to get, you know, I don't care if we were going to get $10,000 more dollars, $20,000 more dollars. But I mean, my mama, I could hear my mama in my head. I know you ain't had them people walking all through my house. Because them women down the street been wanting to get up in my bedroom and see what I had in my house. I know you ain't let them people up in my house. No, mama, we ain't sell nothing out there like that, and ain't had nobody running through your house. God said, honor your father and mother. It's the first commandment with promise that it may go well with you, that you may live long on the earth. So if people, you know, can do anything and live long, sound like God lying. But I think that if you go out in society and look, you see it happening. People disrespecting their parents and what's happening to these kids. Pop, pop. All kind of things. Because the word is true. See, we got to get to a place where we start saying faith has not changed. We have to dig in, because right now the world has shifted in its mind about all kind of stuff. Your children are going to be going to school with people trying to explain to them why the things that we were doing when we were young mean something different now. I didn't want no girl when I was 5. Matter of fact, I used to say, I want to hang out with Wayne and Fred. Those are all my boy friends. And then something mystical happened. I mean, I don't know when it happened, but somewhere we all got more interested in little girls. I don't know when it happened, but it sure happened. And then it looked like that's all we cared about. Mama Fussy, get off the phone. I'm in love. What? Young boy, what are you talking about? Now all of a sudden, now all of a sudden you want me to believe that the fact that I want to hang out with Wayne and Fred and everybody else is because maybe. We was meant to be. Like Jonathan and David. The Bible says Jonathan and David shared a love above the love of women. That do not mean what y'all saying. That don't mean that. Stop trying, but that's where your children are going. You better believe, unless you put them in private school of your own making, you better understand where your children about to go and what they finna hear. And you got to know by faith, God's like, look, I'm not going to deliver your children over to that unless you want them to be. But if you don't want them to be, God says, I can hold everybody from all of these things, provided what? You believe me. Because guess what? People say, oh, time's so hard right now. Folks, the Romans was doing all kind of stuff. Nero would marry little boys. So ain't nobody trying to hear about what's going on today. I don't care about all that. It's bad and it's crazy and all that. But Nero was literally marrying little boys. Nero was the Caesar. It ain't like you even had a Senate to talk about voting about. At least we got something we can vote about. You ain't wasn't doing no voting. If Caesar passed by, saw your kid, he can go marry your little girl, marry your little boy. You know, none of that matters. So all that was going on back then. But God kept those Christians. The ones who what? By faith said, I want to believe God and walk in life. When Jesus was asked the question, he said, they said to him, well, you know, what about they were trying to deal with the divorce question? Is it okay? Jesus said, look, in the beginning, God made a male and female. Okay, that's the end of the story. I heard it. I'm done. Nothing else I need to talk about? You say, yeah, but today, I don't care about today. I'm not having no shift in my faith. I know what God said. I believe what God said. His word is settled on it. Stop moving. Well, Pastor, if you keep that position, you're never going to get people to listen to you. They ain't listen to Jesus. Why am I trying to do something other than what happened? Jesus said, you got to understand. If you want to be with me, they're going to probably handle you like they handle me. Well, what part of that story y'all didn't get? Yeah, what part of the story are people missing about being crucified when Jesus died? Why are we associating being the world loving what we got to say with something positive? Why do we think that's going to happen? Tell me a time the world ever liked God. Folks, go in the Bible and read it. Most time, God, people don't like him. That's the scary part. Because you go through and you see the people of God. God comes down from the mountain. Not the mountain himself, Moses did. God comes down and God says, I've heard my people. Now, these people have been in slavery for 400 years. Now, y'all know I'm about to swing around on something, huh? Them people in slavery 400 years. And God says, I heard the cry. So he said, I'm going to come down and let my people go. He sent Moses. Moses goes in and frees the people. They get out in the wilderness, and Moses was gone 40 days. Just 40 days. Them people say, we don't know what done happened to him. Make us a god like everybody else got. Bible say they Aaron started breaking out. They broke off their jewelry. Aaron made a goat. And the people start worshiping and dancing with the calf. And God told Moses, get down the mountain. Your people done corrupted themselves. They say, Moses, come down. Joshua say, sound like war in the camp. And Moses say, that ain't the sound of war. That's partying going on. I know party sound when I hear it. And he went down, and sure enough, the people was down there partying with a goat. Them God's people he done delivered from, listen to me now, from 400 years of slavery. All they know is being slaves. And they get delivered, and they can't wait 40 days. So you wondered why today? Oh, my Jesus, help me, Lord. If my grandma saw people running around now with some of the stuff we wear, and I'm talking about writing on us, they got 666 on them. They say they worship the devil. We used to talk about, let me just say it out loud. We used to talk about white people. When I was young, and we used to say, white people, man, they'll worship the devil because they had KISS, Knights in Satan's Service. They had all this stuff they were doing that was demonic. They were literally saying they were worshiping demons and stuff. But we would always say, oh, we ain't know that ain't going to happen with us. But you go look today. We done went to a whole nother level. We done took the thing all the way back to Africa. We levitating on the stage. We are calling down demons. We're doing all this stuff and saying it's all right. Now, where y'all came from? I don't care what you look like. More than likely, somebody in your family was a slave. In this church right now, more than likely, no matter what you're looking like, and I ain't trying to look at none of y'all because, you know, no matter what you look like, probably every one of us, you go back far enough, somebody was a slave. And imagine if somebody said, just go out and look at the community today and what we do, what we call freedom, and the fact that we're saying God don't exist and God this and we can do this and we can do that, that God is pleased with that? When did faith shift? When did that happen? The God I know is the one who says, look, hold of my unchanging hand because I don't change. All this stuff going to change. It's going to get ugly sometime and things are going to get crazy. But the reality is when it's over. I mean, the other day somebody says, well, we're just not going to do what the Supreme Court say. Okay, well, that's pretty good. I guess if you know, that sounds like what happened back in the 50s. They said, y'all going to desegregate the schools. People say, we ain't going to do what the Supreme Court say. They got to send the army over there. Folks, when a country breaks down, I don't know, you don't like what the judge said, but you know what? You supposed to do what they say. Sometime it go one way. Imagine if when they decided, well, we're going to allow gay marriage in the Supreme Court said it. What if the state would have said, we ain't doing that? Well, how you going to say you ain't going to do that? Well, you can't flip it and say, well, I know they say in the bush, we ain't going to do that. Everybody got to do what they told. The Bible talks about order, but as the order deteriorates, things start getting crazy, but the Christians have to stand by faith. Folks, y'all got to understand, God will keep you in the midst of all the crazy going on, provided you don't link yourself to it. We don't run on no train. I don't run on a Democrat, Republican, independent train. I run on Jesus' train. I'm just trying to do what I got to do to live my life before God. There is no shift in God's faith before us and how we're to do it. How we receive from God, whatever it is that you need or whatever the case might be. I'm going to read this to you and I want to close with this verse. I want you to see this. Where God, I mean, you should hold God. People sometimes they say, well, you can't say it like that. Well, why not? You should hold God's feet to what he says. Because he the one tell you, prove me. I'm the one that's saying it. I mean, look, it ain't like I'm making it up. It'd be one thing if I came in and made it up. Then y'all could say, well, I don't know about that, Pastor. That sounds like a stretch. Listen to what God says. This is in Hebrews 11:6. Now, we said about it being impossible. This is what it says. Put that up there, Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Just leave that up there. You can take it off the TV in a second. But see where it says diligently? Look at that. Diligently, diligently. Folks, now you got to ask yourself the question, am I doing this? You know, am I doing this? Am I doing this in a way that I can believe that when it's over, God, and when I mean over, I'm talking about like today. Let's say you have young children. And you're like, man, there's so much crazy. Even if there wasn't a crazy going on out there right now, you want your children to grow up and be okay. You don't want them to make the wrong turns and the wrong decisions that end up causing real damage in their lives, because that can happen. You don't want that to happen. So you go before God and you say, God, look, I believe in you and I always have. And I believe that you are faithful to your word. And I'm asking you right now in the name of Jesus that you would deliver and keep my children and that they would come. Boom. Now, at that moment, Jesus says, if you believe what you have prayed and you have no unforgiveness in your heart toward anyone, what you say shall come to pass. Now, we got years that have to go by. And then what? You'll get to see. But I mean, the point is, it's going to take years. But you got to stand by faith. That's how it works. Forget what you see and happen. Forget what's going on. But watch this. If you don't do what you have to do and be diligent, why you think that's going to happen? If I ask you now, where are your children? Oh, they're watching Smurfy Worfy. Smurfy Worfy. Is that the one, the man Smurf with the other man Smurf? Smurfy Worfy. And you like, well, yeah, well, it ain't harmful. Okay, so now we want to change, the NEA wants to change mom and mother to birthing parent. So when your child come home and say, they say at school, we ain't got no mama no more. Why they say you ain't mama? That when you supposed to say, look, come here, sit down. Let me show you in the Bible right here. Bible say, mother, this, that. Diligence, you got to follow up. Because if they tell you something and you just be like, oh, well, they just being kids. I'm telling you, they getting programmed everywhere they go. Every sign they see, every movie they see, every song they hearing. People are programming them, trying to get them to believe what they believe. And you got to do something. You got to say, oh, no, I ain't losing this fight. I'm going to be as diligent as they are. I'm going to make sure I tell my children about what I believe they ought to know. They're your kids, and you got to say that. Some people don't want to tell you. If you don't believe what I believe, they ought not even be your kids. If you ain't for what we're saying, they ought not even be your kids. And somebody ought to take them, but they just ain't ready to do that at this moment. Well, good. You know what? Since you done declared a fight, well, I'm going to fight back. Now, I'm not saying that what? You don't tell your kids ugly things. But I will say this. Now, I'm not trying to hate on you. Remember last week? And I'm going to close. Remember what I said about man wearing a dress? Y'all, if you was here, y'all know I said what? Man wearing a dress, well, he just wasn't going to be my friend, right? I said, I can't do that right now because I couldn't even explain. Now, if we was over in Scotland, I might put my kilts on too because all the men got them on and then we all know we wear kilts. But not here. Little boy, his dad and mama must have bought him something and she gave it to him. He said, I can't wear that. That is for girls. That was his response to his mother. And his daddy, she said, where you got that from? Daddy. Now, folks, y'all got to understand what I'm saying. It don't come by osmosis. Now, back in the day, there were things that, yes, would just come to you. But you're not going to learn about Jesus by just walking around saying you're a Christian. You got to be diligent about it. And God said it. This ain't pastor just talking. I'm going to put this back up here one more time. Oh, my God. Put that scripture back up there, please. Now, watch this. I hope and I pray that on whether it's Wednesday or whatever day y'all pray, if you don't come to church, I don't care about that. What I care about is that you're praying. The Bible, you got to pray because you're never going to receive from God. The Bible says pray without ceasing. The Bible says ask and you'll receive. Whatever you pray, you will not. You cannot live life by osmosis. You got to get in here and be diligent about this and say, you know what? I refuse to lose. Get in there and pray. Well, I don't feel like God's listening. What does that have to do with faith? There's been no shift. Don't look for no angels. Don't look for no voices. Don't look for no vision. Don't look for no cool air. Don't look for no bumps. Believe God. I am praying based on what you said. I'm sick. I ain't going out sick. You gotta get in there and determine to say, I ain't going out like that. I refuse to accept this sickness in my body. I refuse to accept this sickness in my head. I refuse to accept this sickness wherever it's at. I refuse to take it on the authority of the word of God. Not what pastor said, not what somebody else said, but what Jesus said. And now he said, I don't have any unforgiveness toward anybody, and I refuse to accept this shift that people have that, well, sometimes God make you sick for these reasons. I don't want that God. Now, people can get mad at me or say whatever they say. Well, fine. I ain't sick yet, and I'm going to keep pushing. I don't want it. That's what I'm going to say. I don't want that. I don't want that. I don't want that. That ain't what God said. Believe God. See, the shift, it didn't shift. God didn't change. Jesus didn't say, whatsoever things you desire except getting well. Believe God. That ain't what he said. Whatsoever things you desire. Because if you believe God wants you sick, stop going to the doctor. Please. Because you can get it on much faster. I mean, you can get really sick. We know that's not, folks, remember what I said at the beginning? Don't something stink about that? Think about it. If you came up to me and said, Pastor, next week I'm going to be having an operation for a problem I have. But you know the Lord, you never know what he's doing. I believe it, you know, I'm like this because that's what he wants. I said, then why are you having an operation? Well, I'm just trying to do what I can to fix it. Well, why are you trying to fix what God broke? Why don't you let it be broke? No, because you know something stank about that. When you go tell your friends, I went to see my pastor and asked him to pray for me. He told me, stay sick. That was his answer? Well, he said you could pray, but you never know what God wants. Well, did he find that God say he wants you sick? Well, no. Then why would he tell you stay sick? Well, he said, you never know what God wants. So we don't know what God wants. We can't watch Jesus and watch him go by. And even a woman who wasn't even a part of Israel say, please heal my daughter. And Jesus said, it's not meat to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. Call a woman a dog. And she ain't get all upset. She said, you know what? I'm finna be diligent. Oh, I'm getting this healing. She said, you right, Lord, but even the dogs get the crumbs from their master's table. And Jesus said, wow, great is this woman's faith. And even though she don't deserve to get what it is that we talking about, because it belonged to the children, I'm going to let her have more than crumbs. That's the Jesus we want to serve. There ain't been no faith, no shift. There's been no paradigm in these people's mind and other people's mind maybe, but the God we serve, we got to start saying we believe he's still real and he's in heaven and he responds. Yeah, he may use a doctor, but if he don't, I still refuse. If a doctor look you in your eyes and say, yeah, you ain't got but 6 months. Look, I know someone and I'm done. I promise y'all this is my sixth time, right? You get six. And told that man, your mom has 6 months to live. When I talked to that man, he told me, he said, well, you know, I'm trying to do da-da-da. He was preparing. You know, his mother died 2 days later. I said, now see, that's why I don't listen to nothing they say. Now, I ain't saying don't let them diagnose you and work with you. But when they look you in the eye and say, there's nothing else we could do. You say, well, there wasn't nothing you was doing no way. God was using you and, you know, and I was walking with you and I'm doing everything, but I'm not giving up. I'm not giving in. I don't believe nothing you say, because if that woman put her stock and she had six more months, she didn't get but 2 days. That's just sad to me, because even 6 months is longer than 2 days. And you know, the way most people preach is, they tell you 6 months, tell them, no, I got a year. And then you just died. Put your confidence in God. He's sitting there thinking, I got time to get ready. And he was doing whatever he was doing so he could go spend the 6 months with his mom. She died. And all of a sudden, he was all distraught. And stuff, I said, now see, you can't put your confidence in what people are saying, man. You got to understand, you have to base your confidence on this right here. And people, I don't care what your experience is. I don't care what you're seeing. You have, and when you say, I can't, that's when you got to get more diligent. To where faith becomes what the Bible says. I am certain. I don't see it, but I know what's going to happen. I know it. I know it. I know it. Every head bowed, every eye closed.